It is so good to see everybody who is here this evening. My sermon this evening is actually the continuation of a comment that I made in the sermon this morning. In the sermon this morning, I tried to explain to you basically what we as Christians believe. Even though we have not seen God, we believe He exists. Even though we have not seen Jesus, We honestly believe He is the Christ, the Son of God. And we sincerely believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. None of us saw any of these things. But we believe them firmly, assuredly, in our heart that this is true. I need to tell you a brief story about myself. When I was in my teenage years and in college, I was struggling with my faith. Having a very difficult time with my faith. And I could not figure out what was wrong with me, actually. And then I finally decided I needed to go to Florida College and study religion. And I was in Melvin Curry's class the very first week at Florida College, on the front line, front row. And he said, "Mr. Fancher, do you believe in God?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Explain to me why." And I could not answer. And he said, "I see." And then he went to the next person. Actually, I don't remember anything else about the class. But because that moment, my eyes were finally open as to what was wrong with me. I didn't know I believed in God. I was 23 years old, been raised in the Church of Christ, obeyed the gospel when I was 15. I didn't even know why I believed in God. I didn't know what the word Christ even meant. I couldn't explain to someone why I believed He was the Son of God. I had no idea why I believed the Bible was the Word of God. And when I started examining myself, what I realized that day was my whole religion basically is in my parents and my culture. I'm trying to please mom and dad. And I basically am surrounded by everybody else who says this is true. So I accepted it and went along with my culture and my friends. And that day I figured out I am struggling in my relationship with God because I really don't know what I believe. That was probably one of the biggest days in my life. I remember I was so moved by it. I've told the story before that when class was over, everybody got up and left. And I was still sitting in my chair because I was so dumbfounded by the reality of where I was spiritually. And then I sat there in my chair so long that when I got up and left the room, B building was completely empty. There wasn't anybody in the entire building. There wasn't anybody even close to the building. And I stood out there on the balcony of B building, and I just broke down sobbing. I went over to the steps there on the side and sat down, quit crying. And I made a vow that day to myself, a vow that I have spent the rest of my life fulfilling. The vow that I made that day is, I don't really know where this is going to take me, but I'm going to have to figure out what the truth is. Is there a God or not? Is the Bible really from God or not? Forget what mom and dad are trying to want me to believe. Forget my culture. Find the truth. Is Jesus really the Christ, the Son of God? And the vow that I took is I don't know where it's going to take me, but whatever I believe in the future, I'm going to know why I believe it. I'm going to be able to give an answer of why I believe what I believe. My sermon this evening is the compilation of decades of study. Whenever I moved here to Searcy, I spent an entire year trying to teach you three things. Why I believe in God, why I believe the Bible is the Word of God, why I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You go back, you look at the sermons back in 2015. Every sermon was on that subject. What I have learned in my work in the kingdom as a preacher is never assume faith. Never assume knowledge about the Word of God and faith in God and people who are grounded and know what they believe and why they believe it. Because of the contrary, I have come to realize there are masses of people, yes, in the Church of Christ, who are nothing but cultural Christians, who are what they are because of mom and dad and the culture around them. And as soon as they get away from mom and dad, they're gone. All right. A And so what I have tried to do basically in my life as a preacher is get the foundation strong to where the people know what they believe. And it's actually their faith. And they know why they believe it. When it is their faith and they know exactly why they believe it, folks, that kind of faith will change your life. That kind of faith will transform you into a Christian. And so since I've told you, tonight's sermon is basically a year's worth of sermons compiled together, you're in trouble. No, you're not in trouble. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I am going to summarize them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope of that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to explain to anyone what it is you believe and why you believe it. If you are not there yet, you got some serious work to do. To give you the idea that I got my faith to where it is overnight is not true. Folks, I've been studying now for decades. And I'm still studying. And I will always be a student of the Word, continually going back, continually strengthening the foundation. And so what I want to do with you tonight again is just give you a brief summary of the reason of the hope that is within me. Why do I believe in God? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to spend a bit of time on this. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. That's kind of a paradoxical sentence. Invisible, clearly seen. See that? Invisible attributes. God and his power, his wisdom, his might, his intellect. It's clearly seen and it's understood from the creation of the world. It's understood by the things that are made. The things that are made is the universe, the solar system, our planet, our sun, our moon. All the things that are on the planet, the plants, the insects, the animals, the birds, the fish, ourselves. From what has been made, all you have to do is be honest and open your eyes and examine and study what has been made. The debate is over, how did it get here? The universe is here. Sun's here. Solar system. It's all here. The birds, plants, fish, we are all here. How did we get here? Now, you need to realize there's a lot of folks out there in the world that want you to believe there's no God. I'll be honest with you. I've spent decades of my life studying why they say that. It was 30 years ago that we decided to go to Czechoslovakia. And I don't know how they found out. But the people in party meets that contacted me, folks from people from Czechoslovakia, found out I was coming there. They found out I was moving to their city, and they found out I was a preacher who was a biologist. My degrees are in biology. And they called me all the way from Czechoslovakia, and they say, you're coming to our city? Yes. You're a biologist? Yes. And you believe in God? Yes. Would you come to our university and explain to us why? I'm going into a communist country and I'm going to be talking to people. The whole audience is atheist, atheist professors, atheist students. Everybody's an atheist. And they want me to come and explain why I don't believe in evolution. I'm telling you, I felt overwhelmed. My degree's in bugs. I got a bug degree. And I was going to go lecture to the cream of the crop in Czechoslovakia. And so I spent a half a year. I mean, I went into cellular biology like I'd never gone into it. I went into genetics. I went into the fossils. I went into it all, folks. I dove as deep as you could go. And I started trying to figure out, why do you believe what you believe? It must be in cellular biology. And as I went and spent all this time studying it, there's nothing there. So it had to be in genetics. And so I went and I studied genetics, and it's not there. It's got to be the fossils. Yeah, the fossils. And so I went and I studied the fossils, and I looked at it, and I studied them, and I studied them, and it's not there. Listen to me, folks. The whole thing is a smokescreen. It's a farce. If you believe it, or you'll be going in that way, you're thinking that way, you're being duped. Completely lied to. There is absolutely nothing there. And what I learned is when you find the facts, the facts of cellular biology, the facts of genetics, the facts of the fossils, the facts of design and perfection, those were the lectures I presented at the university. I never used any scriptures. I never even used the word God. Not in any of the lectures. All I did was give them biological facts. And then I gave them something they probably had never experienced in their life. I gave them freedom to decide what was the best interpretation of those facts. It was one of the greatest experiences in my life. I will tell you the truth. It went over big. So big, the universities around the country, the high schools around the country were all contacting me. Will you come here? Will you come here? Will you come here? And something I learned then. Converting an atheist who's been duped is the easiest thing in the world when they're honest. If you just give them the facts. I often tell the story of teaching in Hradec Králové. And you could always tell the biology professors because they were the only ones who could afford a tie. And so I had a biology professor on the front row. When I did my lecture on cellular biology, he was polite. When I did my lecture on genetics, folks, he was so angry. He was writing and he was so angry. I was expecting him to jump up out of the chair and attack me any second. But he didn't. And then he came back in the third lecture on the fossils. And in the middle of the third lecture on the fossils, he laid his pen down on his desk, he laid his head down on his desk, and started sobbing uncontrollably. That was when I realized what I was seeing. A man who was an atheist, who was a biology professor, who had been teaching atheism and the general theory of evolution his entire life, and yet he had never been given the facts. All you got to do is give an honest person the facts, and they will come to the conclusion from what has been made. And look at the last part of the verse here. If there's someone that says, it's just not enough for me to believe in God, God says, you're without excuse. You got your eyes closed. You got your ears closed. You will not face up to the truth. If you are deceived by the general theory of evolution, come to me and I will show you the truth on it, folks. Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Now, when you look at this building here, folks, nobody believes this building came into existence by chance. You look at it and you can deduce using logic and common sense, some intelligent being designed it and built it. I love studying biology because it does not matter how deep you go into it. The deeper you go, the more intricate and beautiful the design is, folks. I love it. I actually love biology and even chemistry. Yeah, I was talking about that the other day. Because you see, it's all designed. Even down to the chemical levels and the elements themselves and the way they work. I got books I'm reading right now, and the most frustrating thing is I can't tell anybody about it. Because you don't speak chemistry. That's okay. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the design and the cellular level and the DNA and the genetics, folks, it's awesome. Our God is amazing. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Open your eyes and realize there's a God, and you can deduce it. He is the one who's built all things, the birds, the plants. You know what's happened, folks? We've lost our wow. We just lost our wow. Why do you go to zoos? Because you want a wow again. You want to see an animal or a bird you had never seen. By the way, don't go to Little Rock Zoo. That's a great commercial. Years ago when we were here the first time, we were going around Little Rock Zoo, and we came to one of the exhibits, and there was no joke, folks. It was a black cat in there. And they said, this black cat is from the Brazil jungle. And I said, Linda, look at this. They got a black cat in here trying to convince us that it came from the jungle. Somebody's cat got loose around the jungle and they caught it. It's a black cat. Now, I got a question for you, folks. Why wasn't I looking at the black cat going, wow, look at this? Because I've seen cats before. They're all around my house. We've lost our wow. We've seen the trees. We've seen the flowers. We've seen the birds. We've seen the animals. We've seen ourselves. We don't wow anymore. Slow down. Open your eyes. See it. Let it sink in. The beauty, the design, the elegance. Oh, folks. It will speak to you. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utter speech. Night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens are speaking to us. The sun, the moon, the stars, the solar system. They're speaking to us. And they're saying something to us. What kind of being has the intellect to create all of this? Not just from the solar system out there, but down, as I said, to the molecular level. What kind of being are we talking about here? It's beyond our comprehension of his understanding, his wisdom, and his power. He is God. Open your ears. Listen. Open your heart. Open your eyes. See. Wow again. Wow at the creation. It will teach you there's a God. Why? I believe the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecies never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the Scriptures tell us that they were given to us by God. Now, just stop right there. I don't believe it just because it says it. I am not going to accept a book as from God just because somebody says it is. I got other books in my library that tell me the same thing. I got a book called the Quran that tells me that. I got a book called the Book of Mormon that tells me the same thing. You know what? By the way, I've read them. I don't believe those two are from God. But I do believe this one is. I admit, there was a time in my life when my understanding of the Bible was from God because mom and daddy told me. And the culture around me basically said it was, and so I accepted it on that basis alone. And the truth of the matter is, when I accepted it on that basis, I had no faith in it. My faith was in the people around me and trying to please them. Isaiah 46, going to the outline again. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Prophecy. Prophecies are wonderful. Prophecies are in the Bible for a reason. By the way, the Quran says there's no prophecies in it because you don't have to have them. Well, you know, guess what, folks? You do. Prophecies are in the Bible for a reason. Going over to Deuteronomy chapter 18, 21 through 22, he says, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? Pretty good question, isn't it? How do you know it's from God? And the answer that is given here is this. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You should not be afraid of him. So if someone says, this is what's going to happen in the future, and it doesn't happen, they're false prophets. Don't listen to them. I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent, but years ago, I had some Mormon elders come to my door. I didn't have time, and I said, you don't want to talk to me. And they said, why don't we want to talk to you? And I said, you don't hear what I got to say. And they made the mistake of saying, what is it that we don't want to hear that you've got to say? Oh, don't say that. And I said, Joseph Smith is a false prophet, and if you don't stop following him, you're going to hell. And they said, you're right, we don't want to hear what you got to say. And they walked away. I've got his prophecies, I've read them, and they didn't come to pass. He's not a prophet of God, end of subject. I've gone into the Bible. I've been studying it for 4 decades now. And one of the most wonderful things to do is to go in and just study the prophecies, whether they're prophecies about nations or prophecies about the Christ. There's hundreds of them, folks, and they're in great detail. I got a whole sermon on the prophetic accuracy of the Bible. Exodus now, chapter 15, verse 26. Reading from the outline. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is information a lot of folks don't even know is in there. And that is the medical knowledge of Moses. Moses had medical knowledge that was 3 millennia ahead of its time, that people in the world had no knowledge of in science yet. I give an example of this from Leviticus. If you have an infectious disease, do you know how to stop the spread of infectious diseases? Well, you wash a lot. If someone who has an infectious disease coughs on you or sneezes on you, you're unclean. You need to go shower. You need to go wash your hands. You need to go wash your body and wash your clothes and stay away from everybody for a while. And you got to practice, guess what? Quarantining. To where if you've got an infectious disease, you got to be separated from everybody else. And then if you have this infectious disease, you need to take a piece of cloth and put it over your lower mouth and go, unclean, unclean. Kind of sounds like those stinking masks, doesn't it? Yeah, the mask over the face, quarantining, washing, and then finally, one of the things they did that was amazing, they would use hyssop and go in and sprinkle everything with hyssop. If you don't know about hyssop, folks, it contains what is called carvacol in a high concentration. It's an antiseptic. Washing, quarantining, even covering the face, and antiseptics. Sound familiar? How about 2020? That's what we've been doing for the last year. All of that was taught in the law of Moses, every bit of it. The medical knowledge of Moses was 3,000 years ahead of its time. We know what the medical knowledge in the world was at the time of Moses. It's called the Eber Papyrus. They've translated it. They were idiots. If you got sick during the time of Moses, the worst thing you could do was go to the doctor. He'd kill you. Because they had no clue what caused diseases, much less how to deal with them. But when you go to the law of Moses, folks, it's absolutely accurate medically. 3,000 years ahead of its time. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. One of the things I love about the Bible is the ability to go into it and study thousands of different subjects, and they all fit together. When you're studying a subject, you pull all the verses together, and it just fits and flows together. I got, let's see, probably 10 containers in there of sermon outlines over 40 years. Yeah, I keep all my sermons. And the most wonderful thing about it is every one of them is the same thing. I go in, I dive into the Bible, I pull all the verses together, and I pull back, and here's a big picture, all fits together. And I've done it over and over and over and over, thousands and thousands of times. And there's one thing I can assure you. The Bible has perfect harmony. It fits together, whether it be the subject of death or the kingdom of the Christ or the covenant God made with Abraham. It all flows and all fits together over and over and over again. I present that as evidence that it's not from people. People are the avenue through which the Holy Spirit delivered it, but it's from God. One of my favorite studies is archaeology. If I had my life all to live over again, I wouldn't study bugs. I'd study archaeology. Oh, yeah. Going back and studying ancient history and seeing what they've discovered that are remains of ancient civilizations, and I would especially study biblical archaeology. Oh, I got a whole sermon on this. Because you go back and here are things that are connected to events in the Bible that the Bible speaks about, and here's something from archaeology that connects to that moment. The Bible is archaeologically, historically, prophetically accurate, medically accurate. It all flows, it all fits together. There's no other book on the planet like it. I am absolutely, thoroughly, with all of my heart, convinced the Bible is from God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you walk in it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God." When you realize this really is from God Almighty, this is from the Creator that made everything, you're going to want to know what it says. And it will change your life. Now, why do I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Well, going back to Romans 10:17, so that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Once you realize the Bible is from God, you know where the Bible is going to lead you? It's going to lead you to Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1:16 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What we have here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the New Testament is where we have witnesses telling us what they saw, what they heard, what they did interacting with Jesus. John puts it this way in John chapter 5, going to the sermon outline and reading, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. He says here the works that he is doing is bearing witness pertaining to who he is. The works he's talking about are the miracles. When you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to read about a lot of miracles that this man Jesus did. Healing everybody of everything, and it doesn't even matter if you're dead, you can be raised from the dead. Walking on the water, feeding 5,000 men, not even counting the women and the children with a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. Miracles after miracles after miracles. The way it's put over in John 20, 30, and 31. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." I believe he did those things. When I'm reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and their testimony as witnesses as to what they heard, what he said, what he did, I believe he did the miracles. I don't believe it's made up. Going to John now 5 and 39. "You search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Again in Acts 10 and 43. "To him all the prophets witness." One of my favorite things to do is to go through the Old Testament and find literally all the prophecies about the Christ, as many of them as I can. And then once you've found them, go over and find where they're all fulfilled. Oh, that is so strengthening to your faith. And you're welcome. I'm not doing that all tonight. Because I got hundreds of them. And the amazing thing is, Jesus fulfills them all, folks. He fulfills them all. It is not a coincidence that he fulfills all the prophecies about the Christ. The reason he fulfills all the prophecies about the Christ is because he is the Christ. Romans says in chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The ultimate miracle that confirms him to be the Son of God is his resurrection. Acts 2:32 says, this Jesus God is raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And so I believe the testimony of the witnesses pertaining to his miracles, pertaining to his crucifixion, and pertaining to his resurrection. And because I believe the witnesses, an amazing thing has happened in me. Since I believe this is the truth, I've come to the conclusion that somebody I've never seen, somebody I've never laid eyes on, is the Christ, the Messiah that was prophesied about, that a virgin birth really did take place, and he is the Son of God himself. Folks, can you think of anything bigger to say about somebody? If you believe that just because of mom and dad putting pressure on you, or you believe that just because that's what your culture around you says, you're not going to go very far in your faith. Search it out on your own. Open the book. Find the prophecies. See the fulfillment. Read about the miracles. Read about the witnesses of the resurrection. That is the way every Christian who has faith, that is the way our faith comes. If you're searching for faith that's going to totally change your life, the answer is to go to the Word. Just go to the Word. 1 Peter now chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My whole sermon this morning was talking about looking to heaven with anticipation of being there with all those who are in Christ, and being there with our Lord Jesus Christ, and being there with God Almighty face to face. Our whole hope is because Jesus really did rise from the dead. We have a living hope of our resurrection, of us conquering death, of us being with God in heaven, because Christ's resurrection is real. It actually happened. If you're not totally, absolutely, with full assurance convinced of this, you got work to do. Recognize that. Be honest with yourself at least. Recognize where you are in your spiritual journey. And if you're at that level to where you're a cultural Christian just following mom and dad, realize that. Please wake up. Don't wait till you're 23 to figure that out. And then start dealing with it. Searching out what the truth really is, to where you can get to the point to where you have this living hope of the resurrection. And you know with no doubt, it's coming. It's coming. And we're going to be together with God. Romans says in chapter 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Everybody here who is a Christian has this common faith in our heart. And we'll be glad to tell anybody, yes, this is what we believe about Jesus. And we'd like to explain to you why we believe it. Going over to Mark now, chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who are believers are willing to confess their faith, repent, and be baptized. God tells us in his word that our sins are remitted, washed away, forgiven, and that we are saved. Paul puts it this way, and we'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now look at this. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So I want to close the sermon by asking all of us this question. Exactly where are you? Please be honest. Where are you in your faith? Your faith. What is it that you believe? If you are where I was when I was 23 and you're sitting there going, I'm not really sure there's a God, talk to me. I'll work with you. I'll give you the whole bushel. I'll give you all the lessons, and I'll take my time, and I'll explain to you everything I know about the general theory of evolution. I don't believe in it's true one bit. It's all a hoax, folks. If you have gotten to the point to where you believe in God, now then, good. What about the Bible? Do you actually believe the Bible is from God Almighty? And if you're at the point where you're going, I'm not really sure about that, Wayne, please get with me. I'll give you all the lessons. I've got all kinds of lessons. I've just given you a brief summary. I got the full lessons, and I'll give them all to you. I'll go over them with you at your pace to where you can digest it and understand it at your pace. Because I'm not just trying to pour it down your throat as quick as we can. The goal is for you to get to the point to where you go, yeah, there's a God. Yes, the Bible's from God, and when I study it, guess what? It leads me to this conclusion about Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And I'm going to do what he says do, and I'm going to live by faith and follow his word all my life, and I'm going to have this living hope that's controlling my life fully because I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it. If you're not there yet, I am here to help you. That's what I do. That's who I am. I will take all the time it needs to help you get to the point of your faith that will transform and change your life and in the end help you to be saved. If you already do believe and you haven't obeyed the gospel, come forward and confess your faith and repent of your sins. And we will baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and there's sin between you and your God, deal with it, go straight into it, confess it to the Lord and repent of it. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Love.